So wildfires seem to be raging extra hard in recent months. So I decided to catch up with an old friend of mine, Adam Borich, who's been a firefighter for the last 9 seasons, and he just finished up. So he's talking with us today about the recent firefighting season. How's it going, Adam?
Hey, good. Good, Christian. Cool. Nice to be here.
Will you just fill us in for who you work for and what your role is?
Okay, yeah. So I work for GFP. It's a wildland fire contract crew. They get contracted from the Forest Service, or BLM, and they basically, it's a 20-man hand crew, and I work as a squad boss on that crew for the last 9 seasons.
Cool. How did you get into firefighting?
I learned about it through word of mouth, a buddy.
Right. And then as a squad boss, what role do you fill sort of on the ground?
You're looking out for the well-being of your crew members. There's typically 4 members under you. On the 20-man crew, we moved around in a 4-wheel drive truck, and we could split up into 2 mods. And I was in one of the trucks, and I would just take care of the guys and lead them, whether I had to scout or supervise whatever was going on, whether we were falling trees, digging hand line, and then, or if the whole crew was together, we would just kind of take care of looking out for the different aspects of the hazard mitigation that goes on out there. So one guy might be up ahead scouting for the head of the fire, and another guy with the crew looking at overhead hazards, and another guy being with the chainsaws watching the bars where they're swinging around and make sure everyone's safe where they're at.
Wow, so there's a lot of communication going on.
Oh yeah, everyone, all the squad bosses, there's 3 squad bosses and a crew boss, and they all have radios.
And what are the different methods that you guys use to fight fires?
So there's a bunch, from the smallest to the biggest. Your hands, gloves work really good. Getting in to stump holes and scraping up, mushing up with dirt, whether it's your hand or a shovel, and the embers really get it good. That's the later process. But anyway, so we got the hands, we got the, you know, the hand tools, which there's about 7 different hand tools, and from shovels to hoes to Pulaskis, which are axes with hoes welded on the ends, little mini hoe heads. And then we got the rake, and we got, what am I missing? I think that's about it. But anyway, that moves on up. So then we got the dozers. We got water support, which comes in all sizes, from UTVs, also known as ATVs, little quad, to type 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which is basically 450 gallons all the way up to, if you go all the way up to 2,500 gallons, and then that's wildland. The urban can do more. And then we go up to tenders, support those engines, and that's the 2,500 gallons. The engines actually can only go up to about, I think, 1,800 gallons, unless it's a Unimog or a specialized off-road engine. And then we move on up to aerial support. We have the tankers. Well, I'm moving from small to big. So we have the seats, which are the single-engine air tank air support. Then we have the twin engine and on up to the 747. Crazy. But anyway. So that's our support. So dozers are key in all of it. And so are the engines. And then the hand crews are key, getting off the roads and deeper in to where only air support and boots on the ground can get to the stuff where even dozers can't get to because it's too steep, rugged, or rocky.
Wow, that's wild. So we're talking with Adam Borich, who's a wildland firefighter for the last 9 seasons. And Adam, can you tell us a bit, well, I guess talk about where exactly in the country you guys are doing a lot of this firefighting, and then about how it is being in these remote areas doing such a physically demanding job.
So we're out of the Northwest region, and we work basically in the which is the Oregon, Washington region, and we do 14 days on, 2 days off, and we work usually from June straight through to October, and we stay at camps that the Forest Service or the BLM or state fires support. And they're just basically, with the medium to larger camps, you get showers and food, not bad. And then you just camp in your sleeping bag. Sometimes you get tents if it's raining. But then, and usually the transport time to the fire is only, you know, half hour to an hour.
I mean, you guys must be tired enough where sleeping in a sleeping bag on the ground is
no problem. So, yeah, right? We do the... Yeah, we do 14 days on, 2 days off, and then we work 16 hours a day is our typical day. Sometimes a little less. 12-hour days are pretty normal when the sun gets a little lower in the early and late season. More late season because the colder air kind of slows the fires down in the evening, so we can get out of there kind of. And then, we work our butts off, you know, and a lot, you know, if one guy is sick, then everyone gets it because the fire camp, so everyone goes through the same chow line. They're touching the same utensils, the salad bar. And even though you do wash your hands before you go eat, people are putting their hands wherever, you know. So anyway, it's the game we play, you know, and the money's decent, but, you know, the price we pay is big, so they're paid off fairly
easily. Yeah, I guess one of the bigger questions on my mind is concerning climate change. So I was wondering if during the course of these last 9 years, you've seen any effects of climate change on your industry.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. We've all seen in the news and done our own research that it's getting drier out, getting hotter out, and we're seeing these fires that are just way destructive. Sweden had, 65 fires this 2018 season, and they've had 3 in the last decade before that, so big change. They've had fires north of the Arctic Circle this year, first time ever. Greece had that fire this year, 91 people died, just these blow up fires that are just from the tinder boxes, dryness this is all creating. So anyway, we're just, I think everyone's working on new plans to thin and do the wildland urban interface mitigation as fast as they can now. There should be a bunch of new projects the government should have up for bidding, and then more. And then also the BLM and the Forest Service is hiring more full-time. And I think the long-term, this is speculation, but long-term would be working more employees in the BLM and Forest Service as well in urban mitigation kind of employees. So we'll see how it goes.
So trying to prevent more fires from happening.
Yeah, everyone's getting their chainsaws out and getting the debris pulled out of there. I would think that's in a lot of overhead mines.
Wow, it's all fascinating stuff. How would somebody go about becoming a wildland firefighter? What do you need to do?
Just go online, go to the websites. If you want to go, whatever's closest to you or however you want to do it, just look at their websites, the BLM and the and the Forest Service are the main ones. And then, if you're native, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then the main hiring portal is the USA Job. So if you want to get your job through them, you just apply through there, and it's kind of tricky. So I would write, but I wouldn't get too intimidated. I'd say go for it. That's what I would say. If you want to do it, go for it. And at least apply. At least try a couple times. Took me a couple seasons to get in, and then it's worth it. So anyway.
Cool. Well, thanks so much for talking with us.
Yeah. No, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
Hope you enjoy some downtime during the winter, at least.
Oh, yeah. Resting. You know it.
All right. Well, we'll be talking again soon.
Okay. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
I hope people, learn something from this.
Cool. I'm sure they did.